Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Jimmy Fallon said the official motto for this year's Olympics is United by Emotion. And the unofficial motto is, as of right now, we're still doing this, Fallon. And meanwhile, as if all the COVID concerns around the games aren't bad enough, a bear was spotted inside the softball stadium and is still on the loose. What an Olympics this is going to be. I mean, between the bears and getting a disease, it's like we sent our athletes to a game of Oregon Trail. Pretty good, Fallon. Next up, karate, skateboarding, sport climbing, and surfing, all making their Olympic debut. Fiction, frisbee golf is next, bruh. Fallon, finally, the games will have no spectators. When they heard, badminton players were like, wait, you can have spectators? Seth Meyers, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden arrived in Japan for the Olympics, so now they just need about 1,000 more doctors. Kobir, bad news from the Tokyo Games, Poland has sent 6 swimmers home from the Olympics after selecting too many by mistake. Turns out, upon closer review, what they thought was one swimmer was actually 3 swimmers and a trench coat. Love it. The High Plains Comedy Festival in Denver is coming back for their 8th annual festival, baby. For 2021, they've announced the first part of what is already a killer lineup. Just some of the names: Matt Bronger, Megan Gailey, Chris Garcia, who I love, Sean Patton, Ian Carmel, Shane Torres, and about 30 names that I didn't read. The festival runs September 16th through the 18th. Should I do like real comedy stuff again 2 days in a row and not talk about tacos? All right, let's do it. Yesterday, I spent a few minutes telling you about Just for Laughs, New Faces Group 1. Today, let's take a look at Group 2. Again, this is the Montreal Comedy Festival, Just for Laughs. The New Faces showcase some people who wind up to have great careers. Top of mind, Chris Garcia and Joel Kim Booster came out of that group. Here's Group 2. Andre D. Thompson, New York-based comedian, currently a staff writer on Comedy Central's The God's Honest Truth. Boy, that show only got announced last week. Andre Thompson, you are rocking. Came in 3rd place in the New York Comedy Club competition and was an NBC stand-up for diversity finalist. Next up, Kiri Shabazz, a stand-up comedian from Cleveland who started comedy in NorCal, now based in LA. Kiri was one of 1,250 stand-ups who auditioned at open calls for the annual stand-up NBC competition and went on to win the entire thing. Maddie Wiener is a stand-up comedian from North Carolina with a style described as irreverent humor with a streak of brazenness. Boy, that's so press releasey. And abrasive and likable at the same time. Semi-finalist for Stand Up NBC. Next up, Peter Kim, a stand-up comedian, actor, writer based in LA. Isn't everybody a comedian, actor, writer? No offense, Peter Kim. Just I've read that 14 times now, and I'm like, all right, comedian, actor, superstar. Yeah, got it. Peter Kim, who should not be punished for my editorializing, currently has a project in development with CBS Studios and a project in Disney. He's a series regular on the new Amazon animated series Fairfax. What's Fairfax? Randall Otis is an Emmy-nominated comedian from Orlando, Florida. He's a writer on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and has been featured on The Late Show with Colbert on Vice and has written for the Grammys. Pretty good. Robin Tran, based in Orange County, started her life presenting as a male named Robert Tran in 2015. She came out as a transgender woman and has been performing as Robin ever since. In 2018, she appeared on Comedy Central's Roast Battle and her first one-hour comedy special, Don't Look at Me, is streaming on Hulu, Spotify, and iTunes. Very nice. Sarah Squirm, a great name, LA-based comedian and visual artist who has become known for her unconventional and popular traveling freaky variety show called Hell Trap Nightmare. Love everything about that sentence. Sarah opened for Eric Andre's national tour and wrote on the Eric Andre Show. She staffed on the Adult Swim series Three Busy Debras and Netflix's Magic for Humans. She's previously been named one of Vulture's Comics to Watch for 2018 and Time Out Magazine's 5 Comics to Watch for 2017. Next up, Sydney Washington, New York-based comedian, writer, and actress, featured on Comedy Central's Up Next Showcase in 2018, also the co-host of the popular podcast, The Unofficial Expert. Wally Barham is a Mexican-Syrian stand-up comedian, writer, and actress, living in L.A. Wally's written on What We Do in the Shadows, HBO's Betty, and the upcoming Amazon series Sprung. Will Foskey is a stand-up comedian from Woodstock, Georgia, first discovered by Ratchet People Meet, which is a sketch group led by DC Young Fly and Nev Green. You ever read a sentence and have no idea what you just said? Since the group disbanded, Will Foskey has traveled the country doing stand-up comedy and writing filming projects with his friends and fellow comics. He's made multiple appearances on the hit podcast, The 85 South Show. All right, tomorrow I will tell you about New Faces characters. Have you heard of The Simpsons? Let me ask you 2 questions. 1, have you seen The Simpsons? The answer is yeah, you have. 2nd question, have you ever met anyone who's seen The Simpsons? Yeah. everybody. This will be relevant in about 2 minutes. Speaking of The Simpsons, fans of See My Vest and the Stonecutter song, good news, the creative team behind The Simpsons announced in a Comic-Con at home panel that its season 33 premiere will be a full-blown musical episode. Executive producer Matt Selman said, "The premiere this year is the most musical thing we've ever done, almost wall-to-wall music. It's like a Broadway musical of an episode with all original songs, and we've got Kristen Bell playing the role of Marge's singing voice. That's pretty cool. The panel shared an early concept art piece of Homer in the bathroom singing to Marge in his underpants, drawn by David Silverman, which was used in the table read to get the cast into spirit. The episode is called The Star of the Backstage. The plot, Marge has amazing memories of being the stage manager for High School Musical Y2K, the Millennium Bug, and decides to restage it with everybody 20 years later for one last show." Sounds pretty awesome. Speaking of musicals, got to watch Schmigadoon on Apple TV Plus. Watched it with the wife and my daughter. All three of us absolutely love it. Now, you know who's in it? Mac Packer, Keegan-Michael Key. Do I have a man crush on Keegan-Michael Key or not? The answer is yes, obviously. Admittedly so. Love Keegan-Michael Key. Well, he's in this. My wife, I think, has a woman crush on Cecily Strong. And anything Cecily said, she was like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So I don't know what's going on in my house with Schmigadoon. Some weird energy on the couch. But Schmigadoon on Apple TV+. Check it out. All right. Yesterday, told you about Bob's Burgers and how they were pretty much screaming to tell us that this is a con job, that it doesn't exist. Again, for the new listeners, two quick questions. One, have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? No. You've seen The Simpsons. Have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? No. And Bob's Burgers is supposedly on directly after The Simpsons, and yet you've never seen it. Isn't that weird? Second question, have you ever met anyone who's seen Bob's Burgers? No, you haven't. You haven't. From IGN, Bob's Burgers and Great North creators explain why a crossover will never happen. Well, I could tell you why. One of those two things doesn't exist, but here's the money quote. It could potentially kill the whole enterprise. IGN writes, no matter how much you ask, the creators of Bob's Burgers and the Great North aren't going to do a crossover between the two shows, and they're very clear on why. This was from Comic-Con at home, and the creator said, while it might seem a simple thing to do, the shows share staff and animation styles, it's more of a philosophical problem for those making them. Great North co-creator and Bob's Burgers writer Wendy Molyneux explained, from my point of view, you live inside these realities. People say, oh, I'll just binge watch it over and over again. You don't really want to break the reality by crossing the streams. Bob's Burgers creator Lauren Bouchard agreed, yeah, that's my thought too. You know, if you're a doctor and your patient wants more and more morphine at a certain point, even though the morphine feels really good, you have to say no, you have to explain it. They still like you. Give me the morphine. So I feel like that's what happens with crossovers. It's like this fever. They want the crossover and I hate being this guy, but I'll back Wendy up and I'll say this. We try so hard as many days of the year. I work a lot trying to basically believe these characters are real and these words are real. Break those sentences apart. We know it's made up. We know we're writing, but it's pretty close to a little religious experience where you actually imagine they're real. What would they do? What would they say? Bouchard continued. And so somehow, when you cross a show with another show, I'm sure there are people who can do it. I guess it works in the Marvel universe or whatever. But for me, it screams, oh, it's just a TV show. Time out. Is it? Has anyone ever seen this on their TV? Time in. And I think even though the fans want it, and they feel the pleasure of, oh, imagine that guy. I was talking to that guy. It's still this thing that I personally would try to explain how you shouldn't have that. It's not good for you. It could potentially kill the whole enterprise. I don't know, man. Seems suspicious. Now, one thing that does exist is the Endgame Content Podcast. I've been telling you about these guys for 3 weeks now. Endgame Content, a podcast where four idiots talk about things they think they know about. They talk about gaming-related stuff. They tend to go on tangents, which makes them kindred spirits. They never talk about George Lopez tacos, though. And I bet you they would admit they've never seen Bob's Burgers. Endgame Content, guys. Two questions for you. Have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? No. Have you ever met anyone who's seen Bob's Burgers? No. They also are running a D&D campaign. Now, last week, they were looking for gold. And I want to know if they ever found the gold. But this week, episode 5 is titled Tony Sharks Wanted Head or Alive for Scurventary. The description of episode 5, Tony Sharks Wanted Head or Alive for Scurventary, is, well, it looks like nobody knew what exactly scurventory was until now. That made me curious. I Googled the word scurventary. No idea. Didn't come up. It's like the Bob's Burgers of words. Very suspicious. You're going to have to listen to Endgame Content Podcast to find out what happened. In episode 5, the party stumbles upon a somewhat familiar face and gets into a pretty messy situation again. With Barry being, well, Barry, he decided to go fighting for a shark with Oppressor. And, well, things happen. Find out what on the Endgame Content Podcast. You know the four guys. There's Greg, Corey, Adrian, and Mac. Now, I've updated my rankings. I had told you in the past Mac was my favorite of the four. I've decided I like Corey because Corey, candidly, is the one sending me the checks. I don't sit in the basement talking to myself for nothing. I'm here to sell ads. And Corey sends me a couple shekels. Appreciate you, Corey. Thanks for supporting the show. So I want all my millions and millions of followers to check out the Endgame Content Podcast. They're on Twitch and Spotify. New episodes on Saturday. Check it out. Endgame Content. Four idiots talking about stuff they think they know about. And some D&D on the side. And they've never seen Bob's Burgers either. And they support today's Daily Comedy News. Thanks, fellas. Man, I am running long again. Should I tell you about Trevor Moore from Whitest Kids You Know? Or should we do George Lopez Tacos? What do you guys think? I'm going to do George Lopez Tacos because I teased it yesterday, which means Trevor Moore goes into tomorrow's podcast. A lot of stuff this week. Okay. George Lopez tells us everything about George Lopez Tacos in an exclusive interview for Mashed. Because, you know, George Lopez doesn't talk to just anybody about George Lopez Tacos, does he? He does not. Mashed writes, George Lopez is, without doubt, a major league, multi-hyphenate, comedian, TV and film actor, talk show host, author, and restaurateur. All that is true. Now, my listeners know this, but just in case there's somebody new, the George Lopez Tacos menu offers three types of proteins, pork carnitas, chicken tinga, and Lopez's favorite, beef ranchero verde. They can be offered singularly or family style for 4 or 8. Everything you need to create an authentic Mexican street taco is included, such as fire roasted peppers and onions, avocado crema, roasted jalapenos, and of course, corn masa tortillas. Let me just point out here, this is actually not a commercial. I know you guys are like, is he being paid by George Lopez Tacos because he talks about it for 6 minutes a day? No, I'm just obsessed with this. They asked George Lopez, how'd you get into the restaurant business? George Lopez said, I think because of the stand-up, I was always talking about the way my grandmother cooked. I was talking about putting the bacon grease back in the beans and the homemade tortillas and the chili and the salsa and the kind of the whole thing about this going to this place. Yeah, but what does that have to do with the restaurant business, George Lopez? How did you develop the menu for George Lopez Tacos? George said, there's some assembly required. You can decide how hot, what kind of meat, what kind of seasoning, what kind of sauces, and not having them already assembled and delivered. I think it could be healthy now as well. What do you mean you think? It's your menu. What do you mean I think it could be healthy now as well? Don't you know, George Lopez? It seems like you should know that. The question was, how did you develop the menu for George Lopez Tacos? And your answer is, I think it can be healthy now as well. Do you not know what's on the menu, George Lopez? None of these things are going to make you immediately fall asleep like my grandmother's food did. But when we all now, kind of as a culture, as a society, put more emphasis on the ingredients of the food and the food being good and being good right away, this is better than that. It has to be good. It has to be good right away. I always thought about when you date, there's a first impression. But I told the guys when we started getting into the food bet, you're going to get one bite. If it's not a good one, they probably won't be coming back. George Lopez, what's the biggest mistake you see people make when they order a taco? George says, the biggest mistake I've seen is sometimes when it gets delivered, sometimes when it shows up, it's a little bit wet because some of the ingredients like pico de gallo. In Mexico, the pico de gallo is onions and tomato and cilantro, but it's dry out there. Here, sometimes they put them in little plastic containers, which has a little bit of liquid. So when you put that on the taco, the liquid's going to go to the bottom of the taco, and you're going to get a soggy taco. No one would want a sandwich that's kind of soggy in the middle, and nobody wants a taco that is soggy in the middle. So the original question was, what's the biggest mistake you see people make when they order? Am I ordering from the wrong place? Is that what you're saying, George Lopez? Well, George, what's the right way to make a taco? George Lopez says, the right way is you put the meat in there, you put a little bit of the seasoning, and then the sauce on top. So when you're done, it's never gotten to the bottom. It's always been at the top. Finally, George Lopez Tacos has a special dessert. Tell us about it. That's not really a question, Mashable. That's just factually, George Lopez Tacos has a dessert. Tell us about it. Anyway, George Lopez says, George Lopez Tacos comes with the churro bites. The churro is the straight donut and the cinnamon. When you go to the amusement places, you go to movie theaters, you start to see the churro, you're like, oh, all right. So you're not just into donuts or cookies. Now we're into churros. For me, I'm a huge sports fan. And when you started to go to stadiums, they started to have churros. You're like, okay, this is something that's not going to go away now. They love it. And then for kids and families, I decided a long time ago, and I had nobody do it until we started to do the food bet, you would take the churros and make them into bite size and not the long churro. George Lopez Tacos, innovating churros left and right. That is your comedy news for today. Do you not love my podcast? Do you not want to support it? Right now, $5 in the tip jar. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I will take your money. I won't even use it on coffee. I'm going to get some George Lopez tacos with your money. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Having a fun week here, everybody. Hope you are too. See you tomorrow.